Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, we have Vern Tomke back with us. Now, Vern is our Canadian pastor and coach who loves to help other pastors and men break free from unwanted sexual behaviors. And so today we talked about the 3 key stages of recovery, which are 1, breaking the habit. 2 is addressing the deep-seated issues of the heart and mind. And 3 is recalibrating sexuality to enjoy the abundant life that Christ offers. Whether you're just starting out your recovery journey or maybe years into it, Vern's wisdom is a real beacon of hope. And we mentioned lots of really good resources that will help you along the way, which we'll also include in the show notes. So to learn more about Vern and his resources, visit bandofbrothers.care, C-A-R-E. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org. Or like I said, we're going to post some really great resources in the show notes, so check out those links. And of course, friends, we would love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening, because believe it or not, that really does help others to find the show. Now let's dive into today's super helpful conversation with Vern. Well, all right, Vern Tomke, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be here. It's like a yearly event, getting to come and connect with you. We do this about once a year, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't take the time. This time I didn't look up when was the last time you'd been on, because you've been on a few times. And
yeah.
I think the last time you were talking about the stopwatch addiction cycle, and that really resonated with a lot of guys that listen in. And so I'm looking forward to a similar kind of conversation today. But for some of our newer listeners, why don't you share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and kind of how you came to this place of these 3 stages of recovery that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Hi there. My name's Vern. I'm a Canadian pastor up near Vancouver, BC, and pastor for 30 years. I struggled a whole lot of my life with embedded porn behaviors, even in ministry. And in the last, 10 years have been now coaching guys and working through that. I do a couple podcasts, Finding Traction, and also Pastors on Porn. And one of the things that I've noticed is, one of the bylines of the Finding Traction podcast is this: we want to move away from porn towards the life and relationships we dream about, that we most want. And I've noticed a lot of guys get stuck. It's like, well, I just want to stop looking at porn. And it's such an impoverished understanding of what recovery and what our lives would be about. I tell guys, Jesus didn't come just to rescue us. He also came to restore us. And so I really have been trying to move guys. I'm all about practical tools. I'm a very practical guy. Let's figure out how to move away from porn. But now, what does it mean to truly live the life that you've been called to live? And so that's kind of where these 3 stages of recovery came about.
Yeah. And I think before we even get into that, I think, we're going to have guys listening that are at all various stages of their journey. And one thing that I want every guy to hear is that no matter where you are in the journey, as we unpack these stages, this is a no shame zone.
Absolutely.
So because I look back on my own recovery, Vern, and I go, you know what?
my first motivation was I just want to stop doing these behaviors.
That's right.
So we all start at the same place of finally recognizing there's a significant problem that is wreaking havoc in my life. And it's the easy, natural, even logical assumption that if I'm going to get quote unquote well, then I just got to solve this problem. So I just want the guys to hear that before we go into this, that we all start at the same place in terms of saying, I've recognized this behavior, whatever it may be, is destroying my life and I want to get better. What we're trying to do is say, let's try to stretch out what that whole journey looks like and get to the, if I can put it this way, the really good stuff.
Yep.
Don't stop before you get to the really good stuff of recovery.
No, I agree. Well, and I want to use a, I don't know, I have a buddy of mine that always wanted a Mustang car, and we're going to go with a Mustang convertible. Let's say you've always dreamed of having a Mustang convertible. You finally get it, you drive it for a week, and all of a sudden the check engine light comes on. So I'm going to describe three quick stages. The very first stage is your check engine light comes on. So you bring the car in to your mechanic. And the mechanic, the very first thing he says is, okay, let's turn the engine off. Stage one, turn the engine off. Stage two, the mechanic's probably going to pull a computer out. He's going to hook it up to your car and he's going to look at what's going on. Why is your check engine light on? What are the underlying causes? But stage three is all about, I want to get that car out. I haven't even got to drive it very much. I want to get it out on the open road, put the top down, let the hair, you know, wind blow through my hair. It's all about driving this sucker out on the open road. That's stage three. So that's just kind of the overall word picture.
Yeah. And one of the things that I would say in there is, I love that picture, because what is the purpose of that car? It's not just to be able to drive on the open road. It's to actually drive on the open road, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so if you got the check engine light come on, it's like, you're not saying, hey, can I take it to a mechanic so that he can just make it possible for it to function as it's supposed to? It's like, no, like you said, I want to get it back out on the road and use it for what it's made for.
And then just have it left at the mechanic's place. And every time I drive by it, go, there's my new Mustang convertible.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So how does that translate then into recovery? How do those stages of getting your car fixed translate into this recovery that we're talking about?
Okay. Well, let's walk through these three stages quickly. Stage number one is breaking the habit. You know, we bring our car in, and some of us have actually found maybe even our accelerator was pressed to the floor because of all of our sexual behaviors. So the very first thing that we try to do is turn the habit off. We've been so caught up in this constant shame cycle of lather, rinse, repeat that we just can hardly think about, I just got to stop looking at porn. I just got to break this habit. So we start with practical tools, boundaries. We get covenant eyes. We start making connection calls, grace-filled accountability. You know, we learn to re-engineer our environment, you know, disrupting old habits, building new ones. So that's kind of the breaking the habit. In fact, while I'm on that one, let me give a couple great resources. Benjamin Hardy's book, Willpower is Not Enough, and James Clear book, Atomic Habits. And that's all about getting the engine turned off. Stage one, stopping the habit, the autopilot that we're so used to doing. Okay.
Stage one. And I would just say, I think that's one of those things that it's, all of these stages are important. I think sometimes we even those of us who've been on the journey a long time, I know that I can have the tendency to try to get in such a hurry to get a guy to quote unquote the good stuff of recovery that I forget, oh, you know what? There is a very basic fundamental first stage, and that is you have to stop what you're doing. And I know that can feel almost overly simplistic.
Yep.
Because the idea is like, well, duh, it's like, I didn't know that. Of course, I know that I need to stop it. And that's why I think it's important that you bring in the reality that there's going to need to be outside resources and tools that help you do that. We're not trying to, again, shame anybody by saying, hey guy, you just need to stop it.
Right.
But we are saying that is fundamental to if you want to get to some of the next stages.
And I never leave that stage. I'm home alone right now. My wife's teaching. I don't have access to any of my remote controls. They're all in my lockbox. Those stages never end. That's just part of healthy self-care for me. So stage one, Okay. Now, if you can get the car stopped off, then the mechanic brings out, you know, the computer. This is where we deal with the underlying issues. That's the classic line: porn is not your main problem, but it's your favorite solution. Okay. Well, solution for what? Porn got probably embedded in your life, most guys, at an early age because it was such a great answer. Question, answer for what? Right. And so we start dealing with the underlying issues. Those are underlying lies that we have to confront, pain or wounds that we have to deal with, you know, attachment issues that keep us in isolation or self-reliance, losses we haven't grieved, trauma that we're running from or we're seeking to reenact, underlying unmet needs. So there's a lot of them. And some of you are going, oh my goodness, this sounds like years of therapy, right? Well, there is an inner work that has to happen, but it can also be aided with a group of connected, committed people you journey with, right? But it, yeah.
And I think this is one of those things too. I like the fact that earlier you said that you don't necessarily leave any of these stages. I think you mature in them.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I've found is like, okay, I'll give you an example just from what you talked about here about pain and wounds that need to heal. I'm almost 25 years into my personal recovery journey, recovery and growth. And just recently there was a new layer of an old wound that surfaced. And I realized, oh my goodness, there's more work to be done in the overall healing of that. Now, I haven't acted out in years, Vern.
Right.
But yet the process of this whole journey is ongoing. And so I don't want guys to flip out when they hear that whole list of what you said and said, you mean I got to deal with all of that in like the next 3 months? No, you're probably going to need to learn how to live a lifestyle that keeps opening yourself up to the further growth that needs to happen.
And I think it's so great for those of us who are believers because the Holy Spirit will enable us, but will also bring up in His time, His way, things that that we need to look at. And so the whole idea is you look at those pain points, you lean into God's healing for your life, and then you learn to practice some of those healthy self-care things as opposed to running back to the old medicine cabinet. So that's stage two, and you're right. It always is continuing, but fortunately we have an indwelling comforter and counselor to walk us through, aided along perhaps with a good therapist or a great group of guys to journey with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good.
Let me give a couple quick books. I gave a couple books. Here's a couple books that I found helpful. Number one is The Thing Beneath the Thing by Steve Carter. That's a great book to get you thinking about this. More of a secular book would be Seven Primal Questions by Mike Foster. And that one's all about unmet needs. So those are a couple books that could help you just to maybe explore that journey. So
I would even share one other one that I found very impactful for me in my own recovery was Untangling Emotions.
Okay.
By Groves and Smith. So those two authors, two counselors that did that, of just being able to say, how do you understand? I think this was really helpful, especially for men who really struggle to understand their emotional system.
Right.
And how it can get tangled up and how do you untangle that? And they come from a Christian worldview.
Right. That's my next download. That's great. So now let me just switch the worldviews a little bit or my word pictures. Okay. Stage one was about turning the engine off. That would be kind of like joining the National Guard. Step two was all about dealing with the underlying issues. That's going to be like joining the Marines. You ready for stage three? This is like you're applying for the Navy SEALs. Okay. And this one is all about redeeming or recalibrating your sexuality. All right.
Okay. So, you might have just offended some National Guard and some Marines in the process here. You know, if you're saying that the ultimate is the Navy SEALs, right?
Okay. Guys, I'm Canadian. So I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Okay. So let me just say this. Jesus once again came to do a lot more than just rescue us. He came to restore His original design for our lives. So stage three is this. Recovery in this stage is way more about not looking at porn. It is about changing the way you view and relate to women and the world around you. And most guys go, oh my goodness, Okay. Now the guy that has really messed my mind up here is Andrew. I think it's pronounced Bauman.
Bauman, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a couple books that will just bend your mind in a good way. The Psychology of Porn and The Sexually Healthy Man. And he introduces two concepts. The first one is a pornographic mindset. That's how we view women. And the second one is he calls a PSR, a pornographic style of relating.
Not to be confused with the podcast you're listening to right now, which is PSR, Pure Sex Radio. So let's not get those confused there.
Thank you. And so, okay, so you're ready for the heavy lift? Here we go. We go from objectification and body parts to personalizing and being holistic with women. We go from idolizing and devouring beauty to honoring it. We go from a place of control in our relationships to a place of mutuality. We go from hunger to godly desire, from isolation to connected intimacy, from fantasy to authenticity. And he would even say, and I think he's onto something, most men have a deep-rooted misogyny when it comes to women and how they view women and how they relate to women. And this is all about learning to trust yourself and become a safe person. Mm-hmm. And it's just this one concept, you know, Jonathan, about learning to honor beauty rather than devouring it. I am still trying to wrap my head around that, this whole concept.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying here because I feel like I've almost been kind of on a crusade for years of trying to help men to understand that their struggle in their broken sexuality does not mean that women need to become an enemy.
Right.
Or something to be feared, or even their sexual desires, something to be sort of like we use language like cut off, you know, yep. And so there's a sense in which you're learning how to, I like the way you put it, recalibrate and say, you know what, there's something that is broken about the way that I have trained my mm-hmm. sexuality through porn and other kinds of oppressive and taking types of behaviors. And I need to be recalibrated. And I love the fact that this is the third stage.
Yes.
Because again, the first stage, what do we need to do? We need to stop these behaviors. But sometimes in the stopping, guys are assuming everything that is on the other side of what I'm stopping is an enemy, which right. includes men, women, sexual desires, all of these kinds of things. And so I like the fact that this third stage is saying, no, no, no. We've got to learn how to be, there's a rebirth in some ways that needs to happen. Where I need to recognize that God has actually made me to be a reflection of Him. And there is nowhere in Scripture that God says, hey, you know what? You men, you just need to remain totally and permanently separated from women. It's like, no, we're one in Christ. There's a sense in which we've got to learn how to be a community. So I love this. Even though it's hard to navigate.
This is all about rebuilding our sexuality, not built on pornification, but women as the image of God. And I understand. I mean, I've even with my check-ins that we do every time in our groups, people love to use the threat language. I've said to people, I'm not comfortable even with when you're talking about threats as it relates to women. I want to change that language. It's a challenge and opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just throw out something. This is the one that I've really been wrestling with. How do we engage with beauty in a godly way? Now we've all learned, and these are some ways that we've done it in the past. Number one, we've indulged. This is our whole pornographic life. We've indulged, we've consumed, we've coveted, we've devoured. Most of us go, yeah, check. I got that one. Or here's another interesting one. We run. Beauty can terrify us because it exposes our weakness and our shame. Or we hide, we bounce our eyes, we only relate to men, we push away all women who could even be potentially threats. And you know what? I get that in stage one, but that's not God's ultimate intentions for us. So a couple ideas that you know, Andrew talks about. Number one, in acknowledging beauty, even acknowledging our arousal, humanizing the person. How is this a real person? How are they made in the image of God? Choosing truth over fantasy. Accepting my shame, my unmet needs, my self-judgment. And then how would I treat this person, this beautiful daughter, if she was my daughter or my sister? You could have a drop-dead, gorgeous, breathtakingly beautiful girl who's your sister or your daughter. And I don't think you would treat her in the same way, even though she fits all of those things. And most guys would go, well, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where I think God wants to take us in restoring our view and our experience with attraction, arousal, and sexuality. So that's why I stay free. Yeah.
Well, what I like about what you're saying here is it's reframing how we think.
Yeah.
Overall. And one thing that I think is really good about this is, I early on in my own recovery, there were some ideas that were given to me about, okay, how do you deal with temptation in the moment when you see a beautiful woman and all this kind of stuff? And one of the tricks that was given to me, or one of the tips that was given to me that never set right with me, was in the idea of even in this category of like humanizing them, but it was humanizing them to be bad. Like, in other words, she probably has bad breath, or you know what? She's probably, she's got these flaws and all this kind of stuff. And I thought that never set right with me, because I thought this is a person who God has made, and she is beautiful. And of course we've all got flaws, but that does nothing to help me acknowledge in the moment that I am seeing beauty. I am even having what we call kind of the wow response.
Yeah.
And can I still acknowledge all of that in a safe, humanizing, dignifying way that is righteous, rather than one that has to now make her some kind of, there's got to be something ugly about her. There's got to be something off. She probably smokes. She probably does it. And it's right. Like, well, what does that do for me and my own integrity and my own, you know, this is another human being made in the image of God. And so I like the fact that this method or this way of doing it, it raises the dignity of everyone involved, myself and the other person, rather than making somehow I'm going to be righteous in my integrity and put her down.
Right.
And go, well, why can't we both be made in the image of God? And somehow I have a more mature response than feeling like my only option is to lust after her or hate her.
Right.
Or can't there be some other options?
And one of the quotes from Andrew Bauman is, we hate our shame. Women are associated with our shame. Therefore, our response is really one of underlying hatred. We hate what they do to us. We hate the weakness they expose in us. All of those things. But that's where God wants to come and heal in our lives. So this is a journey that we are on. And yeah, I'm still making sure the habit's turned off. I'm still dealing with the underlying causes. Whatever group of people I'm fighting with, I'm still growing in truly honoring beauty and not consuming it and becoming a safe person. I like that, you talked about reframing. That's just a great, cognitive behavior therapy. And it reminds me, I think it's Matt Dobbs who talks about the guy who takes his family to the water slide. And he stays in the hot car all afternoon in the blazing sun because he can't go into the water slide because there's going to be, scantily clad women at the water slide. You're going, is that our view of recovery? I hope not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Well, let's unpack that a little bit more, because I know a lot of guys that get stuck in that. It's the constant resistance mode. It's the constant turning off mode. It's constantly stage one, basically.
Yes. Yep.
So let's talk about that. And I'd love to talk about it in the framework of the few things you brought up about engaging beauty, whether it's indulging, running, or hiding. Can we maybe try to put it into each of those lanes? Okay. How can we have a more mature, fuller understanding of what recovery is about, this idea of redemption and recalibration? And let's talk first about the guy who's really struggling with the indulge piece. In other words, that's the primary way in which he has responded to beauty, is all I can do is just try to, consume it. how would we maybe move forward and move out of that to this little bit more robust way of thinking of recovery for the guy that's
right
in the indulge lane?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously, if there's a continual drip, 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 we're walking around with a, in a hospital ward with a drip, drip, drip of objectifying images that we're taking in all the time, that's going to make it hard. A lot of this has to do with coming out of isolation. I almost have a hard time, Jonathan, putting this one and hiding one separate, because I would begin to try to say to men, are you engaging with real women? Are you, most porn behaviors are voyeuristic, right? Who are you engaging with in your real life? Who are you, are you hiding? Who are you engaging with in those ways? Are you building healthy social skills, coping skills? That would be a start, other than turning the drip, drip, drip off. I don't know. I'd love to hear your response. How would you, using that, where would you start with somebody?
Yeah, I would say a very similar thing. I think all of everything we're talking about, we're going to the same place. And I think that is the idea of living in the light. Right. There's a sense in which even the indulging, and I agree with you, what you're saying about hiding, there, the consumeristic mindset is saying, I'm going to capture an image that I can go into my own head.
Yep.
And now I can go to this very private, isolated, hidden place and do whatever I want with that image.
Yep.
And never actually cross that line of, have I interacted with another human being?
Right.
Have I stepped into the light of humanity and actually connected in community? So I do believe, and even if we talk about the one, I think it's pretty easy fit when you think about the one who runs,
yep,
the one who's trying to just run. Well, there also needs to be an engagement there. There's a bringing into community. And I would say both community and time and kind of like the recovery space, we need other men to talk about things. We need to be able to process and check in and all those kinds of things. But I think we need the fuller community of the body of Christ, which is men and women.
Yes.
We need to, and this is maybe a little sidebar conversation, but I feel like we have so segregated we've separated the body of Christ, men and women, in many ways in the recovery community. We're essentially, because there's a fear element.
Yep.
And that's the enemy. That's, you know, that's the threat, as you put it earlier. I think we need to do a far better job of coming into the fuller community and saying, what does it look like for us as men and women to talk and to share and to disciple and to challenge and to pray for and worship together? I mean, it's the body of Christ.
Right.
So I would say those are key things, I think, for the person who has been indulging in their mind and only looking at the female as an object to be consumed rather than a person to be interacted with.
I mean, we call that in a negative way, it's floating. I overuse the imagery of tires and a road. And I say to people, whenever the tires, whether it's hydroplaning or black ice or snow, whenever the tires leave the surface of the road, then you are moving into fantasy. Get back to the road. Get back to the road and what you're describing. And part of that is get back to real relationships. You know, when you start floating towards your dream girl, one of the group of guys that I've been working with more and more is guys coming out of their 20s who've lost their 20s to porn and video games. And I, you know, and they're just trying to learn to reestablish real relationship with the opposite sex. One guy I know started going to a dance, you know, a ballroom dance group and a reading club because he's trying to go, I've got to totally relearn how to relate to women. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And I think it is as simple as, you know, are you plugged into a local church where you can get into like a community group or a life group or, you know, a Bible study where it's mixed, and just say, hey, let's just start to learn how to just have a conversation.
Yes.
And I say this is, and I know that this can cause a little bit of a trigger, maybe for some wives out there. That have experienced extreme betrayal because of the secrecy and all the behaviors. So I do think, you know, this is why this is the third stage of development, of recovery, because there is hopefully what's going to be happening as you go through the first two stages. There's an overall elevation of just maturing.
Right.
You're coming out of a childish way of treating sexuality and women and beauty and even our own past. And we are learning how to mature into a better reflection, an image bearer of God. And in that, I think there should also be healing that is happening in the marriage relationship for men who are married.
Yes.
And we don't want to rush that. But at the same time, I think we want to keep moving towards this idea of what does it look like for us to be able to not create these arbitrary lines of fear and hatred between men and women.
And it's recalibrating our sexual relationship with our wives for those who are married, right? That is not just completely pornified. It's learning to, you know, so many guys talk to me when I'm having sex with my wife, my mind, I'm fantasizing about something else. That is all this whole idea of recalibrating our idea, right? So don't forget, guys, the idea is to get the convertible back from the mechanic. Don't let them keep it. Get it out on the road. That's where we're going, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely. So as we kind of land the plane here, Vern, just what are some final thoughts you'd want to give to the guys out there, no matter where they are on the stage, but maybe especially the guys that they're recognizing, hey, I think I'm kind of stuck in the first two stages, and I've never even really thought about how to enter into this third stage of recovery. What kind of message of hope and encouragement would you have for those guys?
I would say, first of all, ask the Lord to gently lead you in your journey. He is an amazing counselor. And then be open to the gentle proddings you get in close connection in groups and in mixed groups as well. I believe God will lead you forward. But do not believe the lie that women are to be feared and avoided. Learn to say, God, I need complete healing going forward. Mm. I believe God will do that. It's going to look different for everybody. But guys, I want to give you hope. This is way more than not looking at porn. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of you reached out to Jonathan and me because you lost the keys to your house or your bedroom. I get that, right? Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, God has got a great life for you, which is, I mean, every morning, Jonathan, I get up, I did it this morning. I thank God for the freedom that my recovery has brought me. I thank God for confidence, for clarity. I thank God for the peace and joy that he's brought me. And I live in gratitude for that. And that I want to just say for all the guys listening, that is for you, but that is also something God wants to restore in all of your relationships.
That's so good. Well, Vern, where can folks go to get, you know, more info from you and some of the resources that you offer?
Yeah, it's simple. Website is pretty simple. It's Band of Brothers. That's plural, bandofbrothers.care. And if you're listening to more podcasts, I know we never put out enough podcasts. My guys are always cycling through them, Jonathan, you know, but my two podcasts, if you're in ministry, it's Pastors on Porn. Just for regular guys, it's Finding Traction, Recovery from Porn. Either one of those are hopefully resources that can help you.
That's awesome. Well, Vern, thank you for what you're doing and for how you can bring some sometimes difficult and complex issues into a simple framework. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be on. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And listeners and viewers, we're going to have a lot of stuff in the show notes because we mentioned a lot of different resources. So please check that out for additional links to books and other resources. But we're always glad you're with us. We want to always help you take your next best step in your journey to wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us for help in that. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.